I mean, honestly, I do remember meeting most of you. Meaning, like, I remember it. And I remember that this kind of, like, going back to last week's Bible study, like, the questions and maybe the earnestness that was in your hearts for purpose or, like, calling. And, like, I don't want that to go away. And I'm hoping that maybe this spring, as we're talking about this, that you'll be like Moses when it says that he turned aside to see that great sight. He had 40 years in the wilderness, and I feel like this past winter was like that, in the sense of the weather, you know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that I can stare right now. It's all daylight. It's, like, amazing to me. But, you know, you can feel like you come out of a season, and you can say, okay, I remember when I wanted to, and it just seems like I'm bogged down. But, and we were talking about that there's purpose still. And as, it might have been Constantine, but it was someone that we are immortal and, you know, until our purpose is done. Okay? It means the idea here is that if I'm still breathing, then there's most definitely something that I haven't seen yet that I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I don't know what that purpose is. In a lot of ways, I mean, I can think of Billy Graham. And honestly, there were years I thought of Billy Graham, like, so why God? And, like, why this long? Why is this man living this long? And because he's not active. But when he died, I sensed it, like, with his death. Him being alive, his life, it seemed to be representative of something. And you just sensed it held up light for us. And so we don't always know our purpose, but even that was important. But we are immortal until we die. There's something about that, that there's something more. And it can easily get lost. And unfortunately, when you walk the streets or you look at a person in a condition, let's say somebody hooked on drugs, and you look at them, and the one thing God has robbed them of is their purpose for being alive. All they do is just kind of go from one fix to another. And everything in between is just really a desire to get to the next, to get it again. Satan has reduced them to that, to an animal nature. And that's even for those out there on, like, I was thinking about it, a situation, and I just, this person always was discussing another girl, another what have you, another whatever, and it was like he had been reduced to an animal nature. You know, and I think I was reminded of it because I was thinking about the ducks, believe it or not. And I was like, wow, so I can be reduced to an animal nature, where that is it. That's the only thing that drives me. Sex. That the only thing that drives me are drugs. The only thing that drives me is money. And you can talk to someone like that. The only thing, everything is about that. And everything somehow comes to circle to that. Everything relates to that. And that's just a very, very dangerous place to be. Because I am less of a person. We started with in Sunday school, and I had was a substitute last week in Sunday school, and we literally have started with Genesis 1:1, realizing that when I grew up, for years, we went to Sunday school, it was understood that we knew all the stories. But, I mean, I was acting like I was giving a commercial of the Old Testament. And I'm like, and, you know, there's a really cool story in the big boat, you know, in the water. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know that story. And their hands go up. And I'm like, what's that story? Titanic. I was like, okay. But this is what's going on. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man. I told them, like, we need to get, I'm like, there are going to be others other than myself that maybe we're going to come into the Sunday school class. And I really do believe that we, like, should be taking turns in there on that level to make it fun to tell these stories on certain parts, because these stories are alive. But we were talking about it, and just I asked them, because we're now getting to Genesis 2, and man is being created. And I'm like, so what makes us different from animals? And, you know, they're going back and forth with a little bit. And one of the youngest ones, I mean, he said, we have a soul. Because first it was, first we stand upright. And then it was, we have arms and legs and we can grab things. It went like, you know, then it was like, yeah, but that's more. But we can think. Well, it's been proven that animals actually think on certain levels. And that's what I read today. To worry about our duck house has to be secure. Because a raccoon has the IQ of a toddler. So he can undo a latch. You know, so, and that furthered what I said, you know, my thinking here. So here's the thing, a soul. But then I said, well, so why did God go about making that? And then one of the little boy, he's very cute, little heavyset little boy, and he goes, he was lonely. And I was like, yeah, God wanted to be with us. He needed somebody. He wanted somebody to fellowship with. But my point is, it's like this awakening of like, and we got to that point of like, I've been designed for something. I've been designed and to do something. I've been created to be something. I've been created to, there is something that God wanted, because honestly, otherwise, after the fall, the best thing that could have happened to God is that he would have just gotten rid of us and started again. But I, you know, but it didn't. But it, and that's not what happened. And, you know, this people, I have formed for myself. That is like a great verse. I'm going to look. Hang on a second. Make sure of it. Yeah. In Isaiah 43. And first he says in verse 7, everyone that is called by my name, for I have, this is the key for us, I have created him for my glory. And I've been created for God's glory. And I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And then he gets to verse 21 of the same chapter. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I've been created for his glory, and I've been created to show forth his praise. And then Christ himself would come along, and he would say to us very clearly that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've chosen you that you would bear much fruit. You know, I have been made to bear fruit. It wasn't that I chose him. He was very clear that we were chosen. And that's John 15:16. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So I was created for his glory, to show forth his grace, his praise, made for him, but chosen of him, but to bear fruit, and not just fruit, but fruit that remains. And I think about that because there is the ability for, it was never God's intent that I would live and die unnoticed, that it would not have mattered. But that actually what I would leave in my path would be fruit that remains. And I've been chosen to do that. This is my, and I think for us, and I've thought about this, I was actually kind of having a conversation with God a couple days ago, that, you know, every morning I wake up, and I know as a Christian I really should get my marching orders from God in the morning. But there's so many other marching orders that have already been given to me. Like if you're a mother of a new baby, that baby cries and does not wait for God to give them marching orders. The baby's not going, okay, is she ready? You know, and wait for that, right? your job. You can't say, listen, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do today, and then I'll let you know if I'm coming in. Let's see how long you have that job. You know, you can't wait on most things. Every one of us as human beings, we have what we call obligations. You know, they're there. They're just there. But God has said, I want you to seek my face in the morning. And I thought, you know, if I looked at this in a pure military way, it would be like before I go on a mission, if you will, I would go to God. And then God would, I go to my commanding officer and he would tell me what to do. And nobody else would touch me because they know that I'm on orders from my commanding officer. Like, see if you can follow what I'm saying here. That's a little bit easier. Like, if I'm in the military, I can tell them my commanding officer has given me these orders and this is what I'm going to do. And everything else, and I'm not responsible to do anything else but what I've been commanded to do. And I can show the orders. But you and I have a different. It's not so simple. If I walk around in the Christian school and I say, these are my orders. Oh, don't talk to me, child. I have different orders. Or, you know, hey, you know, I'll tell you, my orders say not to go into work. You know, or whatever. My orders say to do this and do that. It's like I go to God in the morning, and it's a bit different of like getting marching orders. I actually go to God in the morning, and so then the question is, well, then why am I going to him in the morning then? Because these things are not changing. I have these obligations. I have these things that I have to do. Then what is it that I get from him in the morning? I don't get him the means of living. I don't get him the mechanics of living, but I get from him the way to live, the way to carry it about, the way. God may warn me. God warned me this morning there will be something that's going to hit you that's going to be different. And it's going to bring you sorrow. And it did. But I got that. So sometimes your marching order, the orders are not like go left, go right, but they are more like brace yourself, I'm with you. You know? Sometimes the marching orders are more like, hey, listen, be encouraged. Because maybe I'm feeling down. Maybe the weather, maybe my hormones, maybe my time of month. I mean, the list is long for women, you know. But I need that. And that's what the orders are. They are more orders of condition of the soldier. Because the mission is maybe very much in front of me. Or you may say, something's coming down the pike I want you to pay attention to. And it could change. And that's kind of like, and so I have a readiness. Because God is not, you know, people say, I don't know if God talks to me. It kind of relates to that. I don't know, whatever. No, I move about, but I live in, this is the word that scripture uses often. It's called expectation. It says, let my expectation be of you. I live in a state of expectation. Not the expectation of like a child at Christmas, but there's a quiet expectation that as I go through my day, he will lead me. Sandra's in a new job. It's at Walmart. There may be a worker or somebody comes in or there's going to be something and there's going to be an opportunity and it could hit her like a ton of bricks or it could hit her like a breadcrumb. Do you see? But it will be dependent upon her readiness for that. And then if it hits her, then if it's in front of her, like a breadcrumb is just like, oh wow, there's an opening. Someone says, you know what? Man, it's just been tough lately, period. And you're about your business, you're doing your thing, and you just start building this little relationship. Really? Anything I can pray for you for? Or, sorry to hear that. A genuine sentence, and it's an open door. That's just a breadcrumb. Customer comes in flustered, you know, whatever, and you just give them kindness. And it's out of nowhere. And the only example I can think of was Susie was when Pastor Elmer called. And see, when Susie talked to us, she said that this man called and he was kind of a broken man at that point. And there was just, he was broken. But that's a breadcrumb. And if you're not in a state of readiness, then we can miss that. That's because that's stuff by the way. And see, the Good Samaritan, and this is what something I had said to somebody recently, I'm like, you know, well, I don't know, somebody was thinking about giving to the school, and they have the money to give. I'm like, well, you know, I want to make sure they have the money. You know, they weren't going to feel it. I need to make sure because, you know, not everything I want to make sure, not everything, what was this? Not everything, you know, you give to because, you know, maybe I shouldn't give to that, whatever. And I'm like, I know the argument because you're not called to get to, you're not, I'm like, what are you talking about? That'd be like walking by the Levite, you know, walking by the man, what was he, a Levite? I can't remember. The Samaritan was the guy walked by, who grabbed him, but who was the Levite was one of the people who walked by. I think maybe just a Jew.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like walking by Catherine. Let's just put it in. Okay, but it's like walking by the person and they're beat up, okay? And I'm like, hey. And the Bible says he was on his way somewhere because he had to actually get him to the inn. And then he kept going and said, I'll take care of him. It's like, I can't. Now, I have watched some documentaries and done some studies in sociology, meaning like I've read some studies and watched some of them. They have done sociological experiments. And one of the ones that was most interesting was they did it outside of a seminary on purpose. And put a person in need, dire need. You probably might have read or seen that one. Is that what you're thinking? Is that what you're saying?
I've seen several of them.
Yeah, this was interesting. So their exam was in about 10 minutes. And they put the person outside. And they had to go in for the final exam. And yes, it is horrible, isn't it? Now, some did like, okay, what can I do? And they were more like, it was a fast kind of fix. Let me do whatever. I have to get into the exam. And I'm going to be a couple minutes late. Some rushed right by. And then some obviously stopped everything. But I thought it was very interesting that Christ would have us, because what am I? A mortal till I die. So he doesn't have me be the one who stops, has long, what have you, because he's saying that I'm on a mission while I'm breathing. And every morning and every day and every week and every season of my life, and I do this, I'm in spring season now. I'm already like, okay, God, the warmer weather, the days are longer. I'm driving by Bantz Park on the way here, seeing all the kids out there playing basketball, different things. And I said, well, you know, God, will I be able to? Because last year I wanted to. Will I be able to be down here and just hang out with them soon? You know, is this in the plan for me? You know, it's like, these are the things. What is the season for me? What is that season? And God sets up the seasons. And that's interesting when I was talking to the kids on Sunday. I said, isn't it interesting that God made the seasons early in Genesis 1? He wanted early to teach us something. And actually, what I love about it, he says he made the seasons. But I think it's very interesting. Because Adam lived, and Eve lived, you know, whatever long, but did everything die like the way it dies now? But he had created redemption already, the idea of redemption. And what I mean is this, that the seasons would take on a new meaning after the fall, but he had created the idea that they could. So after the fall, you and I see the death of a tree. There's a great verse. Don't you know that unless something is quickened, nothing is quickened unless it dies? Like something can't be made alive unless it dies. So the seasons show us that. Now, I don't know what those seasons must have looked like before the fall. But when the fall came, I instantly understood. But you and I, nobody has to convince me of the resurrection. Because every force, if I live to be 100, I'll have only seen it 100 times. It's built in me. It wasn't like a far-reaching idea. And I remember talking to her father, and he said, well, some of these things are ridiculous, kind of like miracles. And to believe. I'm like, are you kidding? It's more of a miracle not to believe in the possibility of resurrection. It's built into the seasons. So God built these things in, these things into the seasons. God's built certain things in like resurrection, like resin. But don't you know that it's not quickened unless it died? So every season for me is maybe there was death the season before, but now, okay, God, there's possibility of life here. Show me, direct me, speak to me. Is there something? Because here's the thing. I am the Good Samaritan. I am a woman on a mission. I am a woman headed somewhere. So maybe my path, I get stopped by the way. You know, maybe I get stopped by this idea, you know, of like, and it doesn't get me to where I want to be, but it's possible that it's the mission. Now, the reason I kind of just flubbed here a second was because I was reminded, unfortunately, of this ridiculous cartoon I was made to watch called Up. Okay? And the traumatic way that it affected me. But I will say this about it. The idea is that he didn't miss life, but rather he was living life. And he had to come to me with that. Okay? And that's the idea. The idea is that I'm living my life. And like I was saying to this person, what do you mean you want to pray about whether you should give? That's like I'm outside the seminary. I got to pray whether I should stop or continue. It's like the need is there. I mean, honestly, Matthew 25 is very clear. He will separate. And the idea, some have said it says nations, but the idea is people. And there will be those, the sheep on his left and the goats on his right. And he will say, come you, blessed of my Father, enter into your rest. Enter into that which is prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And they'll kind of, and they'll come and they're like excited. And they're like, but, and my gosh, they'll be blessed. And they're like, so why are you like blessing us like this? Because you did so much for me. And they're kind of like, you know, like in the room, like, you know, the kid who gets a gift and doesn't want to say anything, because like it would be if I pick out a student tomorrow and give him a big gift and just said thank you, and they're like, they want it, but they don't want it, they don't know what to say. So that's what's going to be in the Bible at the end of time. We're going to be kind of like, is anybody else know what's going on? And he said, why, Lord? He said, because when when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. You did all of these things. And now I'm like the kid with a big present, and I slowly take my hand off the present because I know that she didn't mean me. She couldn't have meant me. And I say, Lord, when? And he says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Enter into your rest. And that's a moment. Because I'm trying to rack my brain of my life. Like, I don't remember. I wasn't a Billy Graham. I wasn't a what have you. I wasn't maybe as big, or I was disappointed. I was maybe a Bible college graduate, and I had great things in mind that I thought, because I had read the two missionary biographies, and I thought I was going to be one of them, the third one, you know? I had great ideas. I had this great dream of marrying the right man, and I got that man, you know? Or I was going to marry some man, and I had no man. Like, you know, no one's ever going to be like walking and say that I'm living the dream, so to speak. I thought I'd live here and I'm living there. I thought I'd do this and I'm doing that. But it's really, that's the thing that's not going to be measured in heaven. It will not be, he is not separating them saying, you married that person. It's not like the world. I talked to a parent today and we were talking about that. It's like, we are not going to be separated, like, you know, God forbid, like your country day school. It's not going to be that way. You over here, you over here. It's not going to be because, oh, you married well. Okay, you married poorly. The separation is not that. Oh, you lived here, you lived there. Oh, you had this job, you had this job. It won't even be, oh, you went to Bible college, you didn't. That's not the separation. The separation speaks of availability to God. That's the separation. It speaks of what I'm talking about in the morning, expectation. That's what it is. It's like I said of Moses, and I'm turning aside to see this great sight. That I might have a season of winter. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Famous Easter message. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. The separation is my availability and my understanding that I was immortal till I died, and I had purpose. That I had been designed to be the Good Samaritan. That is a high and holy calling. And so, in fact, it's such a high and holy calling, but it's a calling of forgetfulness. I don't even remember. I won't even be able to remember necessarily. But my expectation and readiness says that this morning I'm the Samaritan, I walk along, I've got to take care of this. Now, if he puts that poor Jew on his mule and whatever and walks him grumbling, I keep thinking, believe this. I gotta take this guy now, and now I got involved, and blood's on my hand, what have you. That's not it. But he is walking with pace. You know what I mean? He's gotta get somewhere. And he gets some, puts him in the inn. Is he taken care of? Okay. Take care of his needs. If it's more, I'll pay for it, but I gotta go. It's like with purpose. And then he goes to the next purpose. And it's very purposeful behavior. And that is the design, because why? We were designed to bear much fruit and that our fruit should remain. But I guarantee you at some point he forgets about the man in the inn. But God doesn't. Hebrews 6:10. He is not forgetful. He does not forget my labor of love. And the work toward and the work and the service that I give the saints. So this is a new season. Treat it as such. Don't live in the old. Don't live in this is the way it's been, it's always been. Don't do it. God doesn't live there. God lives in the moment now, and then the moment then, and then the next moment. And so when I wake up, it is the expectation that I'm looking to get, the expectation that I'm looking for him. It's like, God, now you know what I have to do today. Okay. Help me see the breadcrumbs. Help me see the brick. Help me to get through it. Comfort me. Give me the little piece I need. And then in the middle of the day, give it to me just when I need it. Please, God, of all things, don't let me get through the day and I was not of use to you the way that you would want it to be. Now, I may see no one today. It doesn't matter. It's a state of readiness. If Moses saw a bunch of sheep for a very long time, how could he know that every sheep would be representative of maybe 10,000 people? And the care that he would give toward a sheep would be a readiness and represent the care that he would extend toward an entire nation. How could he know? We don't know. We do little things, but with big hearts. We have maybe little input, but great purpose. I don't know. We have to be available to that. I just know that this is a part of why we're here. And please, like I said last week, all of your faces were on my mind when I was in Chicago. And I just was impressed. It was impressed upon me. Don't lose your purpose, your calling. Don't let Satan win there. Be available to him, of use to him. The greatest work that you could ever do is not for you to buy a one-way ticket to China. The greatest work you can do is tomorrow morning get up and say, Lord, you know what's in front of me. Please help me to be available to the deed that you put in front of me, to the way I should walk. And then I'll have my moments of being a good Samaritan. And I'll have a lot of moments of not really realizing that I've done anything. Hallelujah for the unnoticed acts. Because this people I have formed for myself. I was created to give him glory, and that's glory. I was created to give him praise, and that's praise. And I was created to bear fruit, and that's fruit. Every day. May we be strong for each other. May we push each other to do greater deeds. And I don't mean greater in amount. I never know. I mean, sometimes, I mean, honestly, for instance, with the balloons, it is what it is. I mean, it's nothing like, there's no record. I don't care about that. But I do care about opportunity. I don't know. If not me, maybe someone else. If what? Like, I have no idea. But let's believe that there's purpose here. And that God has not made a mistake with the length of days that we all have lived. And God has not made a mistake with what we're doing, how we're doing. There's no mistake, ladies. The only mistake I could make is to misunderstand that. So tonight, I encourage you. I exhort you. Keep your ears open. Keep your hearts open. Be available to the opportunities that are part of your calling, not even mine. You know, Christ said, greater things shall you do than I did. Because he only had 3 years of popularity. He lived 30 in obscurity and 3, and that was it. Each one of you have been saved in this room at this moment anyway for more than 3 years. Greater works. You mean I can do more works than you, God? Yeah, and I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. Because it's a sad world. And guess what? Even a sad church. Your presence in a church service. Your presence here. Your presence with each other. That's it, guys. This is the show. We can be great together. Saying the other night to a couple people that, like, let's understand that if you've ever watched, and I maybe had the privilege to watch, like, a crew on a boat, they each have defined duties, and it's fascinating to watch. Like, at one moment, it's like one command is given, they're all scurrying in different directions. And that boat doesn't go without them, okay? Without each one doing his part. And they work together. Nobody. What happened to the guy on the boat, and they were like, I'm going to do what I want. And the boat's just going to sit there. The reason why they don't do that, because it's more important that they work together, because they already have an entire ocean going to work against them. They already have the entire wind working against them. They already have a storm working against them. They already have everything around them, the elements working against them. They most certainly should be working together to move this large object in the water. You and I, God's work, his churches, all of this is one large boat. And I don't even have to know what you're doing, but the effect of what you're doing reverberates. It's just the way it is. When I go to my section of the boat to do it, they don't look at, hey, I wonder if he's doing a good job. It doesn't work like that. But we know it's working because the boat moves. Honestly, in our church, we know it's working because the church will be, you could sense it, the fruit, the what have you. You'll sense it in the anointing in a church service. The boat moves. But if I'm in my little corner doing my thing and whatever, we won't even know why the boat maybe is stopped. Well, or why it's going this direction. Well, the guy on the rudder was like, I'm not doing that. And the boat's like, you know, making one big, he leaves it in one angle. The boat's just spinning in a circle. You know, we can do that. I have power that way. You have power that way. Let us have expectation. Let us live the life that God is still designing in front of us. It's almost like he is literally clearing the path in front. And let's be a part of seeing what our future is like, because honestly, you don't really have much of a choice because you're alive because he still has a job. I mean, it's that simple. I can say, whatever. Bottom line is, he had killed you. He's gone. But there's purpose and desire. He has it. He's got desire tonight. And I don't want my Lord to have to beg me. Why should he beg me? He died for me. He paid for everything. He shouldn't have to beg me. It should be across my back, the word M-I-N-E, speaking of him, to speak of me. So, session 2, completed. Mission accomplished. Any comments or... Yeah. Comments, questions, what have you.
So no matter what we are doing, or where we are, in our way of thinking, we have to be ready for God's expectations to be accomplished.
Amen. Yeah, that's all he's asking for. It's not like, I remember when I was in Bible college and all these missionaries would come home, and I was listening to our head pastor then, and he got up one day, I'll never forget it. He's like, honestly, you can be carnal on the mission field, you can be ungodly. It's like the key is that you return, and that I don't care if you're out there or here. It's basically he was saying this: is there? Don't you understand that God designed you? To have a constant expectation of readiness, because there were times missionaries would return and they didn't know how to live here. Honestly, they didn't know how to talk to people here. There were people who were living here and working their jobs who were better at talking about God when given the opportunity than they were. They just kind of, you know, got absorbed. But that's not what we were meant to be. I wasn't meant to shine out there and, you know, be buried here. I was meant to just be available to be everything. And I'll tell you, this is interesting as a final picture. I really like when Moses, it says in Acts 7 that it came into his heart to go down to see what his brethren were doing and their burdens. So he gets down there and he sees that they are, you know, obviously being abused by the Egyptians. And you know the story, but he takes one of those puppies and when he sees he's hurting one of his brother, and he decides to administer his own form of divine justice. And he kills the Egyptian and hides the body. And then later on it's found out, long story short, and he flees. But he flees to an area, Midian, okay? And he's kind of sitting there by a rock, by a well, and it's Jethro's daughters who come to the well, and they're feeding their animals, but the guys, these other guys, these clowns, come to the well, and they're like, no, you're gonna feed our animals are going to drink first. And the women said, yeah, but we were here first. Said, no, our animals first. And it got aggressive. And it said Moses got up, didn't see him hot back there, got up, kind of beat the other guys up and said, the ladies are going to have their animals feed first. And of course, a bunch of bruised men beat up said, that, yeah, I think that would be great. Good idea. But you know what I thought about? I said, this is exactly what I'm talking about. It isn't the moment of I am, at that time he had freed the prince of Egypt, then he'd been what he thinks I'm saving, but now he's basically a fleeing criminal. But Moses hadn't changed. Because what does it matter? Why should he defend a bunch of women? His life is kind of a living hell right now. He's lost everything. But he puts his life on the line for a couple of women who have nothing to do with him. That's the character of the man. And then they invite him to dinner, and obviously they connect, and he marries one of the daughters, and he lives there and raises the sheep. Okay? But the picture to me is, why in the world? Why bother? That's a Samaritan move. It's like sometimes in York here, maybe various things that you're doing, it may feel like a why bother? And it may be, you might feel like I'm a fleeing criminal, so to speak. But that's the moment. Because I have an expectation, and I am ready. And I don't often have this. I'm not ready. Like I said, it's not a kid at Christmas. But it's kind of like, you know what? God, honestly, and I've done this on certain mornings. Like, I woke up this morning. So you must still have some hope for my life. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, honestly, why did I wake up unless there was still hope? And unless I could, you could still use me. Unless there was a, because God, I already knew God loved me, but his love could just take me home. To allow me to live still, it's not just love, but it's hope. Do you get it? It's not just love that I am living here. It means that my life has hope. Because there is something here that he still has for me to do.
He still has a purpose for you.
Exactly. And I love that. Sometimes there are mornings and I wake up and I say, okay, I could have screwed up the past 6 months. But every time I wake up, it's like it can't be over because I know what over looks like. There's cemeteries full of over. You know? I still got one life left. You know, it's like the video game. Oh, there's another life. Oh, you just got another life. It's amazing. So, you know, even though I may feel like that, just like the tree did probably in January. But, and you're wondering, why am I still here? I'm dead. I got no life in me. But come March, I stare at this tree because I can't wait for it to bloom. And it will bloom. That's amazing. And that's me. Available, expectation, whatever, it'll come. And that's whether it's to your... It also could be to your family, your relatives, your daughter, your son, whatever. There's a moment, there's a word in season I can give. And that's my moment to give. And who knows the power of that word? Don't despise the day of small things. Okay. Anybody else? God bless you. And until the next time, this is Walter Cronkite. Okay. All right. Yeah, until next week. All right. God bless.
Do you pray for Jordan?
Yes, you do it. That's your show.
Okay. We said we would pray for Jordan every week while she was away. So, Father, we just think of our little crew over there in Cyprus, Jordan, Sophie, and Taya, God, and just thank you so much, Lord, that they're able to be together and just for the work that you're doing in each of their lives, God. And it's just such great reminders of your love for each person, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And just ask that you would really bless them, God, and give wisdom just over there in every situation, God, and that that they would sense your purpose in their lives, Lord, that they would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord, to perceive the breadcrumbs that come to them as they go through their days, Lord, and that you would just give them opportunities to just witness to others there, Lord, and to... spread your light there, God, and I just ask that you would really bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.